Good morning. When we say we're doing music and that Sean is leading worship, people show up. This is exciting. And yes, I will be singing this morning, for those of you who are wondering. But as we light our chalice, I was thinking about the fact that our theme, which has already been alluded to several times, creation, the act of bringing, the practice of bringing something new into being. It's one of the things that I love about being a minister, because we do creation every single Sunday. We bring something new into being. And so this morning, Pam Hart is going to come forward to kindle the flame of our chalice as we begin again this creative act, which we call worship. And as she kindles the flame, I share with you some words from Plato, which are painted on the wall of the Victoria Conservatory of Music. Music gives a soul to the universe, wings to the mind, flight to the imagination, and life to everything.
Today we have the pleasure of welcoming into our congregation 8 new members. Is this microphone working? Yes? Awesome. After taking some time to learn about our congregation, these people have decided to make this their spiritual home. I will begin our ceremony by introducing each of our new members, and then we will all participate in the responsive reading that is printed on the inside of the back cover of the new member booklet. Inside of the back cover. New members, as I call you forward, please bring your responsive reading with you and stay standing up here. Sam Wilmot and Bobby Engel. Jewel Spooner. Eleanor Bazaar and daughter Gaia. And Shelly Motz. Shelly actually joined last spring but wasn't able to make it to that ceremony. We're delighted to have her in person for today. Also with us somewhere out there is Shelly's family. Give a wave, Lauren, there, and the boys, Jasper and Elijah. Welcome. Frank Monahan and Bill Glassman and Lise Weiss have also recently joined as new members, but they're unable to be here today. Frank is out of town. Bill is home with that bug that's going around. And Lise has been called back to Edmonton to be with her father, who's having emergency surgery. We wish them all well, and we look forward to welcoming them in our next new member ceremony. You can read all about our new members in the new member booklet. For now, let's all stand as able and join in the responsive reading located on the last inside of the back cover. I will begin. These persons of faith stand before you in formal recognition of their belonging in religious community.
I come as a seeker, searching for a sense of belonging to something greater than myself, longing for a deeper connection to the sacred in life, seeking acceptance and support as I strive to become my best self. As a new member of the community, I pledge to share my stories, my gifts, my insights, and my love as we work together to care for one another and the larger world we all share.
We welcome you among us. We promise to be open to your wisdom, to appreciate your gifts, and to support you in your striving. We acknowledge that with your arrival, we are changed. And we embrace that change, for your presence enriches us. Together, we reaffirm our mission, strengthened in spiritual growth, supported in community, energized by diversity. We strive to transform ourselves and our world through compassionate action. So may it be. The congregation may be seated. Now we extend to our new members the hand of fellowship, or companionship, perhaps, which will be given on behalf of the congregation by myself and our president, Lorna Anthony. New members will also each be presented with the gift of a flowering plant as a symbol of the joy we feel that they have chosen to share the beauty of their growing spirits with us. As I welcome each person, I invite you to welcome them by name also. Just repeat after me. Watch this. Welcome, Bobby.
Welcome, Bobby.
Welcome, Sam.
Welcome, Sam.
Welcome, Jewel.
Welcome, Jewel.
Welcome, Gaia.
Welcome, Gaia.
Welcome, Eleanor.
Welcome, Eleanor.
Welcome, Shelley.
You?
Yep. Now, Lorna. Can we do the sevenfold welcome while we're waiting? Fivefold? How many folds? The welcome. Can you do it a cappella, or can you do it just while we're waiting? Yeah? So,
welcome, welcome.
Okay, I invite any kids who are out there to come forward if you wish, for a better view, to play our Getting to Know You game, Two Truths and a Lie, which we do with our new members. So you'll remember the rules here. Each person or couple is going to make three statements. Two are true, one is not. It's our job to guess the statement that is not true. First up are Sam and Bobby. Speak right into that microphone.
Okay. I go to two different churches almost every Sunday.
We both enjoy country western music. Sam proposed to me in an IKEA store.
Okay. Raise your hand if you think that Sam does not go to two different churches almost every Sunday. How could he do that, right? Raise your hand if you think that they do not like country western music. Raise your hand if you think that Sam did not propose to Bobby in an IKEA. Okay, what's the truth?
Country music, no.
So he did propose in an IKEA. Jewel, please tell us three things about yourself. You have to speak right into it.
I have a master's degree in math.
Okay.
When I worked as a pediatric nurse, I loved to sing to the children.
Okay.
DNA test of deep ancestry revealed that I have the highest possible percentage of Neanderthal genes in my genome.
Okay. Raise your hand if you think that Jewel does not have a master's degree in math. Raise your hand if you think that when she worked as a either she didn't work as a pediatric nurse or she didn't like to sing to the children when she worked as a pediatric nurse. So raise your hand if you think that something there is fishy. Okay? Raise your hand if you think that her DNA test does not reveal that she has the highest possible percentage of Neanderthal genes. Okay. Jewel, which statement is not true?
I don't actually have a master's degree in math. I will never have one and never even start on one.
Thank you, Jewel. Eleanor and Gaia, what are your statements?
I was a competitive pool player in my youth.
Okay.
I hate chocolate ice cream.
Okay.
And I have a dog named Bella.
Okay, tricky, tricky. Raise your hand if you think that Eleanor was not a competitive pool player in her youth. They pretty much believe that. Raise your hand if you think that Gaia does not hate chocolate ice cream. Raise your hand if you think that Gaia does not have a dog named Bella. Okay, Eleanor, will you tell us the truth, please?
Gaia does not have a dog named Bella. She takes care of a dog named Bella and wishes she was hers.
Thank you. Okay, Shelley, tell us three things about yourself, please.
I didn't learn how to drive until I turned 40.
I have vertigo, and my family is from Bessarabia.
All right. Raise your hand if you think it's not true that Shelley did not learn how to drive until she was 40. Raise your hand if you think it's not true that she has vertigo. Raise your hand if you think it's not true that her family is from Bessarabia. Okay. Which one was not true?
It is not true that I didn't learn how to drive until I turned 40.
And what is the truth?
I am 45 and I still can't drive.
That was a surprise. Thank you, new members. Thank you, children. You can go to your classes now as the grown-ups stand, form the arches, and sing you on your way.
I invite you now to join me in that spacious place of meditation and prayer. I invite you primarily into a time of silence to listen for that song in your heart, to listen for where the melody and harmonies of your being are this day, and perhaps as well to reflect on how we might amplify the voices of those in our world who are too often silenced. A time to meditate on the music of our hearts and our world. Help us, O Spirit, to be in touch with that place in ourselves which is beyond words. Help us to remember the songs of our hearts and to hear the songs of others, now and always. Amen.
Back in late November and the first 3 weeks of December, my husband and I took a wonderful holiday, which included a two-week Caribbean cruise and a week afterward in the Florida Keys. And the reason I mention this is that when I realized this month's theme was creation, and Reverend Shauna was speaking on the power and meaning of music, I felt I had a few memories from my recent trip to share on this very subject. On Sunday, December the 4th, we were in Barbados. Part of our scheduled tour that day was to visit the Anglican parish of St. John on the eastern side of the island. The parishioners were just leaving after their morning service, and as they vacated the sanctuary, we as a tour group were allowed to enter and take in the beauty and reverence of this very old Gothic church. I noticed that on the hymn board that it was the second Sunday of Advent. Immediately my mind went to my all-time favorite Advent hymn, O Come, Emmanuel, which I recall from my Anglican days we sang on the second Sunday of Advent. O come, Emmanuel. You might know that one. Upon leaving the church, I noticed three ladies standing to one side. In a rather daring and bold move, I approached these ladies and asked if, in fact, they had sung O come, Emmanuel that morning. They immediately brought up their hymnals and proceeded to find the hymn. They had not sung it that day, but they indicated that they would be singing it the following Sunday. Then I started to sing the first verse, and for the next several minutes, the most incredible thing happened. There, in this lovely old churchyard, the four of us sang this beautiful and ageless hymn, and our color, our nationalities, and geography disappeared, and we were connected ever so briefly by the music. It was magical. On another occasion in Antigua, at the top of Shirley Heights overlooking Nelson's Dockyard, there were several local women selling souvenirs and jewelry items at their tables. Within a few minutes, I heard one lady quietly singing, Away in a Manger. You all know that one. I ventured over to her table and joined her in this very familiar Christmas carol. She seemed delighted that I knew the song and would feel comfortable singing along with her. Her name was Kathy, and a very devout Christian lady who told me that Jesus was her personal Lord and Savior. At that moment, it didn't matter if I had exactly the same faith. I knew we both had a faith that again, through music, brought two total strangers together in song, and the connection was made. I purchased one of her necklaces, and when I indicated that I didn't need a bag, she insisted and carefully placed it in a small sack, which I only realized later had hearts and the word love written all over it. As I walked away, she was softly singing Amazing Grace, and that memory still lingers with me. My third encounter with music is quite different. One evening during our time in Key West, my husband and I decided to take in the carnival atmosphere of the nightly ritual of the sunset celebration down in Mallory Square. At one end of the pier, we could hear a man singing in a deep, resonant voice and speaking to his audience that had gathered round. We wandered slowly in that direction and sat on a retaining wall and listened to this older gentleman sporting a grizzled gray beard, a patchwork vest, and a Rastafarian tam, accompanying himself on guitar and singing and playing such selections as James Taylor's Fire and Rain and Leonard Cohen's Suzanne. Within a few minutes, he asked for three volunteers to join him in singing the chorus of Deo. No one ventured forth, and after a few moments, he asked again. Impulsively, and at my husband's urging, I rose and walked toward his set of microphones and amplifiers. As soon as I approached, another man and woman joined in. It seemed that once I had stepped forward, others were more inclined to participate. We introduced ourselves, had a bit of a rehearsal, as the musician was adamant that our lines were, "Daylight come and we wanna go home," and not "wanna go home." And there on that pier, for a few fleeting moments, three total strangers joined arms and sang the chorus of this lovely calypso ballad. Daylight come and me one go home. When the song was finished, he thanked us, we congratulated each other on a well-done effort, and departed into the crowd, never to see each other again. Fortunately, my husband took a video of our performance. However, this amusing yet touching and poignant experience will remain locked in my memory for some time. The question in the January newsletter asked, when was the last time you created or helped create something that will outlive you? For me, these experiences exemplified the mystery and magic that music serves as an amazing conveyor of feeling and emotion, where there are no boundaries or limitations, just the beautiful spark of the bond of human connectedness which lives on in our collective memories.
This morning I have two readings for you. The first is a poem by Ann Porter entitled simply Music. When I was a child, I once sat sobbing on the floor beside my mother's piano as she played and sang, for there was in her singing a shy yet solemn glory my smallness could not hold. And when I was asked why I was crying, I had no words for it. I only shook my head and went on crying. Why is it that music at its most beautiful opens a wound in us, an ache, a desolation, deep as a homesickness for some far-off and half-forgotten country? I've never understood why this is so, but there's an ancient legend from the other side of the world that gives away the secret of this mysterious sorrow. For centuries on centuries, we have been wandering, but we were made for paradise, as deer for the forest. And when music comes to us with its heavenly beauty, it brings us desolation, for when we hear it, we half remember that lost native country. We dimly remember the fields, their fragrant, wind-swept clover, the bird songs in the orchards, the wild white violets in the moss, by the transparent streams. And shining at the heart of it is the longed-for beauty of the one who waits for us, who will always wait for us in those radiant meadows, yet also came to live with us and wanders where we wander. Second reading is an excerpt from a Marvelous on Being interview, which Chris reminded me to look into, but with choral director and author and composer Alice Parker. During the 50-minute conversation that Alice Parker has with Krista Tippett, one of the things she says is this: I think each one of us is a walking encyclopedia of all the sounds we've ever heard in our lives. And it takes a color, or a representational object, or an occurrence, or remembering the first love, all those things. What they call forth, the kind of communication they call forth, is music. Trying to get them into words is loads of fun. It's a marvelous game trying to pin these things down. And the lovely thing with the music is that we don't have to be limited by the way that words are limited by our rational minds. This morning's message is entitled, What Music Can Do, with a little nod to the jazz song, What a Little Moonlight Can Do, all right? You guys probably noticed that, those of you who are jazz fans. What Music Can Do. I grew up in a family that had a deep love of and profound appreciation for music. In myriad forms and styles, music was always seen as worthy of undivided attention. It's one of the reasons it's maddening to go out to eat with me, because if there's any music on in the restaurant, I'm half listening to you and half listening to whatever's happening in the music. It's not background noise to me. It never has been. Music was always seen in my family as art and companion, as source of wisdom and offerer of solace. I have always appreciated music, and it occupies so many of my memories. It adds texture and feeling to so many of the moments of my lifetime. When John Vozdansky, who gave me this topic this morning, and I spoke about it, we found that we each had musical forms that evoked particular people and times and places for us. We recalled types of music that speak to us about moments in our lives. We thought of working songs, songs that people sing as they work. We thought of resistance songs like those from South Africa. We thought of spiritual songs that speak of deep longing for spiritual connection. We thought about the remarkable history of music itself. The formal and the informal, the oral tradition songs and the classical music. Music has so much power, such a capacity to break us open and move us, to help us access things about ourselves, about being alive, that we can't access nearly any other way. I was struck most in the Alice Parker interview that I referred to earlier by a quotation that she had culled from Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel. Rabbi Heschel wrote this: "Listening to great music is a shattering experience. Throwing the soul into an encounter with an aspect of reality to which the mind can never relate itself adequately. Such experiences undermine conceit and complacency and may even induce a sense of contrition and a readiness for repentance. I am neither a musician nor an expert on music, but the shattering experience of music has been a challenge to my thinking on ultimate issues. Rabbi Heschel concludes, "And one problem, I spend my life working with thoughts, and one problem that gives me no rest is, do these thoughts ever rise to the heights reached by authentic music?" I love that quotation. One such shattering song for me is Duke Ellington's Come Sunday. In part, John asked me to do this sermon this morning because at a Jazz Vespers this fall, I sang Come Sunday with the group that we had with us that evening. As we warmed up, we started to practice the song, and I sang the song a little bit high for me. It was a little bit of a stretch for me to hit the notes. So the musicians took it down a little bit for me to bring it more cleanly into my sweet spot of range. But then I looked at the pianist, Tom Vickery, and I said, "I think this is a song I need to reach for. I think it's right that I work at this song." Come Sunday, for those of you who don't know about the song, I'd always found it deeply moving, but when I read about the history of the song, I found it even more so. Late in his life, in the last decade of his life, Duke Ellington wrote 3 jazz sacred concerts. And in that last decade of his life, he wrote one in 1965, one in 1968, and one in 1973. And he said, Duke Ellington, that these sacred concerts were the most important thing he had ever done in his life. And that's saying something for those of you who know Ellington's music. Tom Vickery, the pianist that night, said to me after we sang the song, after we did the song, he said, "Do you know what Ellington said about his sacred concerts?" Tom's a bit of an encyclopedia of jazz. And I said, "No, Tom, what did he say?" He said, "You know, there's a quotation from Ellington saying, 'I feel at peace now that I wrote these sacred concerts because I have finally put in my music what I have been saying on my knees all these years.'" Come Sunday is from Ellington's 1965 concert. And if you imagine what was going on in the civil rights movement in 1965, and then you hear this song, how can it not but shatter you? So I'll stretch for it a little bit right now. Lord, dear Lord, God Almighty, God of love, please look down and see my people through. He goes on and sings, whoever sings that refrain again and again, please look down and see my people through. You don't need to be a theist to feel the deep meaning in someone imploring for divine intervention when people are being beaten in the streets. The song goes on to say, just clouds passing by. Ellington's sacred concerts got at the heart of not just what he believed, his deep faith. But when you can be going through what you're going through and just see that dark sky is just clouds passing by, you got some hope. You got some hope and some faith that your people will see this through. As I was preparing for this morning, the other music that came into my heart, the other genre of music that occurred to me as music that really speaks to me, that knocks me on my butt, that shatters me in the way that Heschel talked about, is the music that is sometimes referred to as bluegrass or American roots music or even country music, which apparently Bobby and Sam don't like. But it's not so much contemporary country. I'm not talking about, I'm not talking about Brad Paisley and those people. No. I'm talking Carrie Underwood. No. I'm talking about the Appalachian deep in the valley kind of music. I'm talking about Oh Brother, Where Art Thou soundtrack from 2000 kind of music. I'm talking about Alison Krauss and Gillian Welch and Emmylou Harris. I'm talking about music that has this emotional underpinning and resonance that's so on the surface that you can't help but feel it from the moment any of them open their mouths. For those of you not too intimidated by theologies that you don't like, I highly recommend, I can't recommend more highly, Gillian Welch's song, By the Mark. I was going to sing it for you, but when I was singing it the other day, Moore looked at me and was like, I don't think you can do that. I think she's right. It's all about Jesus and stigmata, and it's very overt in its Christian perspective, but it is a gorgeous, glorious, remarkable song, because Gillian Welch has this voice that will reach into your spirit and pull on it. And she, in that amazing soundtrack, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, she and Alison Krauss sing another song together that I know all of you know, that often reaches into me and speaks to me, that sometimes on a particularly bad day, I will find myself singing, some bright morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to that home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away. This is the happiest song about death you will ever hear. But I hear that song and I just think, oh, some bright morning when this life is, oh, I'll just fly away. There's a deep peace in that song. There's a joy in that song. It's just remarkable what a song like that can do, what music can do. It's very hard, as Alice Parker said, to talk about music, because how can you put into words something so transformative, something so deep, something so rich, something that reaches each of us in a very personal ways. When you think about all of the occasions and places where music reaches you, you realize how much it speaks below and beneath simple words. How it touches on all senses of art, how it reaches us through all of our senses. It So the last song that I want to share with you today, I really struggled to figure out what to do. And then I was thinking a little bit this week about one of my other favorite singers and how one of the things I love so much about Gregory Porter, who was just here this past summer, and I think a few of you might have been at that concert that I was at in early July with him, is he writes these songs. He's a jazz singer, kind of, sort of. He's kind of a jazz, soul, R&B, everything singer with this really deep, deep, beautiful, resonant baritone voice. And he writes these songs that are deeply spiritual. And he wrote this beautiful song that I'm going to sing for you that's called Painted on Canvas. He opened the concert in July with this song. And the reason I love it is because it has this art metaphor running through it, like literally painting. He mentions some Harlem Renaissance painters. He talks about Motley and Bearden, who are both African-American painters. He goes through this song and he does some beautiful things about how we are like works of art. Our lives are like works of art. And the song is just, I could go on, I mean, like I could do a whole sermon on this song because it's just so beautiful. But he, you know, jazz singers, they're kind of crazy because they sing the same thing over and over again, but they interpret it, right? So you can take the same line and make it completely different by what you do with it. So this song, Painted on Canvas, starts, "We are like children, we're painted on canvases, picking up shades as we go. We start off with gesso, brushed on by people we know. Watch your technique as you go. Step back and admire my view. Can I use the colors I choose? Do I have some say what you use? And can I get some greens and some blues?" And he's going to sing that to you again, but it's not going to sound the same. "We are like children, we're painted on canvases, picking up shades as we go. We start off with gesso, brushed on by people we know. Watch your technique as you go. Step back and admire my view. Can I use the colors I choose? Do I have some say what you use? Can I get some greens and some blues? We're made by the pigment of paint that is put upon. Our stories are told by our hues. Like Motley and Bearden, these masters of peace and life, layers of color and time. Step back and admire my view. Can I use the colors I choose? Do I have some say what you use? Can I get some greens and some blues?" That song. You can go on YouTube and watch him sing that innumerable ways, because there are live versions of him singing that song on YouTube. But the images, we are like children, we're like painted, we got hues, we got colors, we got life, we got texture. It's just such a beautiful, beautiful song, and amazing in the richness that it conveys in just a few paragraphs of words. It's not about the words, it's about what they point toward. It's about how it feels to hear them or to sing them. Music is like that. It gets us in touch with who we are, and it connects us to the larger human story that our lives are a part of. It helps us see a place that we're in that larger web of life we're always talking about. And so my prayer for us, as we think about the music that has moved us, the music that has shattered us, the music that has changed us, the music that still holds us, no matter what we're going through, my prayer for us is that we may always find and make time to be in music's company, to simply listen with our full being to what a song might have to tell us, to what a song might have to remind us, that we might take the time to focus on music's transformative powers and be moved by all that it opens for us and within us this day and every day. So may it be, and amen. And then my soul may hear a voice, a still small voice of love eternal. Darkness, when my fears arise, let your peace flow through me. May the peace and the beauty of the songs of your life, the music of your being, be with you now and always. Blessed be, and amen.